Good morning. I want to say hello to everybody in all of our venues this morning, whether you are listening online or over at our East York campus or in our gathering services. We're glad that you are with us this morning and trust that this will be an awesome day in all of our venues today. If you have your Bible, you can turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 11. And this morning, we bring our series in Daniel to a close. It's been a good one. It's been an interesting one. And I trust that the Lord will use it in a great way, continue in our lives. Just want you to know that in a couple of weeks, we're going to begin a new series here at COD on Sunday mornings called FAQ, Frequently Avoided Questions. In other words, we're going to be talking about some of the tough issues, some of the tough questions that we wrestle with in faith and in reference to the Bible and in Christianity. And so I already have, of course, a slew of those questions ready in light of all the times I've had the privilege of talking with people. But we're also going to let you throw some of them at us as well. And so if you'll just reach out to us at office at COD York, and you can send us some of those questions, some of those tough questions, those tough issues that you've maybe struggled with down through the years, or somebody you know, somebody you love struggled with. I won't promise that I'll answer every one of them during this 10-week series, but I'll do my best to get to as many of them. And if I have any left over, that'll be fodder for a new series again sometime, all right, a return visit. So I hope you'll think about that and reach out to us. But today we find ourselves in Daniel chapter 11 and 12 in a phenomenal passage of Scripture. You know, back in the day when explorers wanted to look far into the horizon, they had these old-time expanding telescopes. Remember those? And some of you are saying no to that because you don't want to admit that you remember those. But yeah, you've seen them on pirate ships and things like that, right? And so, and of course, the more they expand, the more light kind of they can get into them, and so the farther you can see into the horizon. Today, of course, with things like the Hubble telescope and others, scientists actually construct these huge expanding telescopes, and they use not just natural light, but they use laser and infrared light, and they are able to look into the universe farther than we've ever looked before. When we get to Daniel chapter 11 and 12, I want you to imagine, if you will, an expanding telescope, kind of seeing far into the future. Much of what Daniel has prophesied up to this point in the book has happened in history, but today, beginning at the 35th verse of Daniel chapter 11, the text takes what I want to call a turn far into the future. It's almost as if Daniel has a telescope and he is going to be reaching to the end of time as we know it. He's going to be seeing and reporting for us many events that are a part of God's plan for the future. The reason why I believe this is because of this one phrase that appears five times in the verses in front of us here. And the phrase is this: the time of the end, the time of the end. It's actually a phrase that appears in the 11th chapter in the 40th verse, in chapter 12, verse 1, 4, 9, and verse 13. We get our phrase, the end times, from this. The end times is a book or is a phrase that appears more or less in the New Testament, but it is that time that Scripture teaches all of the world is moving toward. It's the end of time, a culmination of world events that ushers in eternity. And today, Daniel, I believe, wants to talk to us about these events. Now, my wife is a watercolor artist, and I am her biggest fan. And so whenever I get a chance, I like to throw that stuff up. But, you know, it's interesting to watch my wife paint. She doesn't just sit down and start throwing color on a page and paint something. Many, many times, she begins by sketching out what she's going to paint. And once she has the sketch down, then later on, she fills it with color. And I think that's what's happening here in the book of Daniel. God gave Daniel the revelations that we're going to see today about 2,600 years ago. And they are really, I believe, kind of a rough sketch, if you will, of the end times. Of course, Jesus would come along, and the Apostle Paul would come along, and the Apostle John would write as well in the book of Revelation. And I believe they would kind of fill in some of the color, if you will. They would fill in some of the detail of what Daniel sketches out for us here in Daniel chapter 11 and 12. And Daniel wants to do that for us today. I believe that what he shares with us is both exhilarating and also alarming and very, very serious. And so let's think about this here today as we open up our text this morning. Daniel chapter 11, beginning at verse 35. I want to share with you a few thoughts here today. The first one is this. The first picture that Daniel sketches out for us is what I want to call a final war instigated by Antichrist. A final war instigated by Antichrist. Let's pray, first of all, and we'll ask for the Lord's blessing here as we open up God's Word. Father, thank you so much for this passage of Scripture, Lord, this amazing, this exhilarating, and at the same time, very convicting and challenging passage. I pray that you would be our teacher this morning. You're the one who wrote this. And so illumine our hearts, inspire us, help us to interpret correctly and to apply these amazing truths to each of our hearts today. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's begin reading this morning, Daniel chapter 11, beginning at verse 35. It says, the king will do as he pleases, and he will exalt and magnify himself above every god and will say unheard of things against the God of gods. He will be successful until the time of wrath is completed, for what has been determined must take place. He will show no regard for the gods of his ancestors or for the one desired by women, nor will he regard any god, but will exalt himself above them all. Instead of them, he will honor a god of fortresses, a god unknown to his ancestors. He will honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and costly gifts. He will attack the mightiest fortresses with the help of a foreign god and will greatly honor those who acknowledge him. He will make them rulers over many people and will distribute the land at a price. At the time, there's our phrase, at the time of the end, the king of the south will engage him in battle, and the king of the north will storm out against him with chariots and cavalry and a great fleet of ships. He will invade many countries and sweep through them like a flood. He will also invade the beautiful land. Many countries will fall, but Edom, Moab, and the leaders of Ammon will be delivered from his hand. He will extend his power over many countries. Egypt will not escape. He will gain control of the treasures of gold and silver and all the riches of Egypt and the Libyans and Cushites in submission. But reports from the east and the north will alarm him, and he will set out in a great rage to destroy and annihilate many. He will pitch his royal tents between the seas at the beautiful holy mountain. Yet he will come to his end, and no one will help him. Now, as I said earlier today, I believe that when we go from verse 35 there to verse 36, that this revelation telescope, if you will, is extended. Up until this point, we think that Daniel is talking about the Antiochus Epiphanes and all of the destruction that he brought back in the second century or so. But when we turn there to verse 36, Daniel, I believe, is now looking far into the future at what I want to call a coming world leader. Suffice it to say, we can describe, I think, this period of history by you ain't seen nothing yet. And Daniel here is talking about this leader. You may want to write down Revelation chapter 13 in your notes this morning, because Revelation 13, I believe, describes this coming leader as with the word the Antichrist. And so these two passages of Scripture, I believe, gel together. The Antichrist will wreak havoc, of course, we know that, in the world. But Daniel says a few things about this person as well. In your notes, number one, Daniel says he's going to do as he pleases. So verses 36 and 7 are saying he has enormous pride. He actually will toss aside, those scriptures says, other religions, and he will try to get everybody in the end to look to him for direction and for help. That's the second idea there. He'll also demand, verses 39 and 40 say, to be worshipped. The Bible says there that his God will be, quote, the God of fortresses. That means that he's going to trust in military might, church, that he's going to amass, as the scripture says here, a huge amount of wealth. He will gain many followers. One of the reasons why he'll do this is because he's going to give them perks and favors for them to follow him. It also says there in the scripture that he is going to be helped, scripture says there, by this foreign god. And most scholars believe that he's talking there about Satan himself. But then Daniel says as well, beginning at verse 40 there, that he'll come to a violent end. And he describes there in verses 40 through 45 this violent end. Most scholars believe that Daniel is seeing here the battle of Armageddon. You want to write down Revelation chapter 16 in your notes. And Daniel here talks about this king of the south that comes against this person. And most people believe that this is kind of like an Egypt-based, if you will, Arab North Africa kind of confederation. I have a question mark there because people have been wondering about this for a long, long time. He also talks here, Daniel does, about this king of the north. A lot of scholars believe that he's talking there about Syria, Russia, and you can kind of even see how things are setting up these days for that possibility. He says that this person will be alarmed from reports from the east. Who is that? We don't really know who that is. Some speculation, maybe China or Asia. We know, of course, when we look at Revelation chapter 16, that that there John kind of fills in the details, if you will, of what Daniel here is sketching out. He's talking about this time of a great battle in the Middle East there, when Antichrist will move through the Middle East, will set his sights especially on Israel. Antichrist will have a great hatred for the people of God. And yet it says there in verse 45, the end of our text there, that he will come to an end and no one will come to his aid. And so the first sketch out, if you will, that Daniel brings before us is of this time of war, this time of distress in the Middle East, headed by this person called the Antichrist. Many of us are here this morning who certainly remember the horrors of what happened back in April the 19th, 1995, with the bombing of that federal office building in Oklahoma City. Remember that, church? Wow. The front of that building sheared off by that bomb, the floors collapsing upon each other, a fireball rolling down the street, they say, and windows miles away blowing out by the power of that blast. And yet they say when it was all over, there was this like eerie silence that kind of settled over this. And of course, we know that 168 people died that day. 19 of them were children. And what's amazing about it, of course, is that all of these people, they had no idea that something this horrendous was coming. They were helpless to stop it, helpless even to rescue themselves. I think Daniel is trying to talk to us about this here. Daniel is looking far into the future of this world. Maybe not too far. When he wrote it, it was far, but it might not be very far from when we live today. And he's seeing this future war, this future person who will rise up and will harm and hurt many, many people. Wow. But there's a second thing that Daniel talks about. In the midst of this, there's hope, and that's the wonderful thing that we love about the Word of God. And so the second thing that I see in this text is an amazing deliverance for the people of God, Daniel says. And so in the midst of all of this despair and destruction and slaughter, Daniel looks ahead and he sees that God has his people in his heart, in his mind. And listen to what he says there in the opening verses of the 12th chapter of Daniel, beginning at verse 1. Daniel says, "At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people." I love that, don't you, church? You know, the Bible says that the angels look over us. Some of us, I know we had a son, we always thought there were about two or three who were looking over him. But here's another proof that there is power in the angelic world. And so so here again, Michael comes back up, who protects your people. He will arise. There'll be a time, this is a huge line, church. There'll be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. You ought to underline that. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name, go back there again, please, everyone whose name is found written in the book will be delivered. Multitudes will sleep in the dust of the earth, will awake, some to everlasting life and others to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens. And those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. I think he's talking about you and me today, church, Christ followers. But you, Daniel, roll up and seal the words of this scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. Number one, a future war headed by Antichrist. Number two, in the midst of this, an amazing deliverance for the people of God. Now, back when I was a younger person, I used to watch this television program. I think I was in my teenage years, my 20s, called Alfred Hitchcock Presents. Anybody remember Alfred Hitchcock? All right, all the old people got their hands up this morning. Some of you remember him, but you don't want to put your hand up. I get that. But, you know, he'd come on like at 11:30 or 12 o'clock at night on a Friday night, as I recall, with his gravelly voice, "Good evening." And then he would just weave this for the next half an hour or so, very complex, mysterious kind of plot. It would leave you hanging in such suspense that even after the program was over and it was all solved, it would kind of have you muttering, "What really happened there?" And I think some of that's what's going on with Daniel here. Some of you kids need to Google Alfred Hitchcock on Hulu, all right, and watch some of his programs. But you know, when we get to Daniel chapter 12, verse 4 says there that there's this deep desire, and there will be this deep desire to know what's going on. Daniel is saying to his people, look, difficult days are coming. It's not going to be easy. There's going to be a great battle in this country that I love. But God, in the end, will be in control of all of it. And so let's dig around this here for a few minutes here and think about this. First of all, he begins by talking about, quote, this time of distress, such as has not happened since the beginning of the ages. That's a powerful line in Scripture, by the way. Most people believe that what he's talking about here is the Great Tribulation. You can read about that, of course, in the book of Revelation. Jesus is also somebody who also talked about this. In fact, you want to write down Matthew 24, verse 8 and verse 13. Jesus talked about this time of distress that will come to the world one day. In fact, Jesus will actually describe and compare this future time to the pain that a woman goes through when she's delivering a baby. I remember that. I was there. I watched that. I felt the pain, not as much, I know. Don't throw any tomatoes at me here. I can remember, I didn't even go through the pain and I lost it, so much so that the doctor looked at me and said, "Get out of here, go out in the hallway, sit down and put your head between your knees there." And I wasn't even the one in labor. But this is what he's talking about here. This is what Daniel is talking about. If you want to write down Revelation chapter 6 through 19, and so maybe later on this morning or this afternoon you want to go home and read it, because Revelation chapter 6 through 19, I believe, is talking about the Great Tribulation. And it says, just some of the things it says there, 25% of the world's population slaughtered during that time. 1/3 of the earth and the seas destroyed. Of course, now we know with nuclear power how something like that could happen. The pollution of the earth's water systems. And so we think it's bad now. We ain't seen nothing yet. And Daniel is saying to us that in the midst of this, people are going to go all over the place trying to figure out what's happening. And yet there's going to be a time of great deliverance. I want you to get this down. I have it in your notes today, church. And Daniel is talking about this here. One day, everyone who has ever lived will be resurrected to come before the Lord. Amen, church? You know, that's why Daniel talks about this book of life. And of course, we know that when somebody comes to faith in Jesus Christ, our names, Scripture says, are written in the book of life. And Daniel talks about that there. He mentions this, and he's reminding us that those of us who have put our faith in trust in Jesus for salvation, we will rise again to eternal life. But there'll be another resurrection. Daniel's talking about a double resurrection here. Those who did not put their faith in Jesus Christ will also rise, but Daniel says they'll rise to shame and contempt. This is a time, of course, for those of us who are Christ followers to stand in front of the Lord Jesus, not to be judged, but to stand in front of the Lord Jesus to receive our reward. Daniel says, look at what he says there in the end of these verses. He says that during this time, Christ's followers will shine as stars in the heavens. Wow. We live in a day and an age when we're obsessed with celebrities and stars. We get television programs about them, websites about them, sports heroes, actors, actresses, reality TV stars. But have you noticed how fleeting their fame is, church? Have you noticed that we like these people for maybe 6 years or 8 years or maybe some of them 6 months until they're found out? But I think Daniel is saying to us today that God's people are different. Daniel is saying to us that the humblest Christ follower, who, as he says here, leads many to righteousness, will be like a star that shines in the heavens. And I wonder today if you and I are leading men and women to righteousness. I wonder today if your name is written in the book of life as someone who has come to faith in Jesus Christ and now you're walking with him. Daniel is talking about these times. Daniel is sketching out and helping us understand that one day there will be this great war, that the earth is moving toward this end, and yet God will be there. God will be watching over. God will be rescuing and delivering his people. And there's a resurrection, a time when everyone will rise from the grave. And those of us who know Jesus Christ, to spend all eternity with him. Then thirdly today, I want you to see what I want to call a final challenge that Daniel brings to us as he begins to wrap this book up. A final challenge, thirdly, to each of us who are here today. Daniel chapter 12, beginning at verse 5. Listen to these words. Daniel says, "Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on the bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. And one of them said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, 'How long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled?' The man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river lifted his right hand and his left hand toward heaven. And I heard him swear by him who lives forever." So many people believe this was Jesus, a pre-incarnate vision, if you will, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says it'll be for a time, times, and half a time. And when the power of the holy people has finally been broken, all these things will be completed. Verse 8, I heard, Daniel said, but I did not understand. And so I asked, my Lord, what will the outcome of this be? He replied, go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. But as for you, go your way to the end. You will rest. And at the end of these days, you will rise and you will receive your allotted inheritance. Wow. A challenge for us today. Daniel begins there in verse 5 with that question, I think, that we all ask anytime we find ourselves in distress. How long is this going to go on? What's happening, Lord? How long am I going to hurt? How long is this trial going to be in my life? How long will that suffering go on? I mean, I don't know about you, but I look at what's happening today in Syria. I look at what's happening in Yemen and other parts of the world. I think to myself, how long, God, are you going to be patient and persevering in these situations? Daniel's asking that there. And then I believe he kind of gives us, or God gives Daniel, and Daniel writes it down for us, some resources, some encouragement, so that we can keep on keeping on and end well. And I've got a couple of them for you. The first one is this. When human resources give out, God steps in. That's what I think he's saying there in verses 7 and 8, because the point of the verse is that as we get closer and closer to the end of time, wickedness will gain momentum. So I'm not part of those theological thinkers who actually think that, you know, somehow life is going to get better and better and better, and that's going to usher in the kingdom of God. I don't think that's true. I don't see that in the scripture. What I do see is what Daniel is saying there, that this world will get worse and worse and worse, and that will be the sign that God is at work in these ways. And God often does his greatest work when we are at the end of our strength. And so I think he's reminding us, I think, of that amazing truth that when resources of ours give out, this is where God oftentimes steps in. The second thing he says is this, that during these times, many will turn to the Lord, but many will not. Verses 9 and 10. He says, you know, Daniel, I'm not going to give you any more information. He says there in verse 9, go your way, Daniel. Seal this up and roll it up. In fact, this is it. I'm done giving information. All I'm going to say to you is that during these times, many people will return to the Lord. Many people will be revived to follow Christ. And then there'll be some who just kind of go on living their lives apart from God. And you know, it's so true, isn't it, church? Trials have a way of doing that. Trials have a way of kind of, you know, separating the men from the boys, the women from the girls. Trials have a way of either driving us to the Lord, or sometimes trials push us away from God. And I wonder what you're allowing the trials of your life to do. Are they moving you to the Lord? Do you find yourself today maybe in some difficult times, but turning to him? If so, you're following, I think, what Daniel wants for us today. Many, many turn to the Lord during these times. Sadly, many as well do not. And there's a final little piece of advice here. He says, remember that God has a plan. Remember that God has a plan. He talks there in those verses about that 1,290 days and 1,335 days. You're saying, Pastor Bob, what is he talking about there? Answer, I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. I mean, I've read I don't know, 15 different authors from all kinds of different spectrums here working through it, and nobody really knows exactly what God is saying there. And yet, what he's saying, I do think he's saying this, and we can draw from this, church. While we have no idea what he's saying there, God knows what he's saying about a church. God has a plan. That's what he's saying to us there, I think. If you can bring anything out of that, it's that this. God has a plan. God has a plan down to the day. God has a plan. We don't really know what it is, but God has a plan. And when it gets to that day, glory to God, God will reveal the plan that he has. Kind of seems odd, though, doesn't it? Seems odd that God isn't going to explain this to Daniel. I find myself, why isn't God explaining this to Daniel? And yet, I ask you today, would you want to know exactly what's going to happen in your life for the next 10 years? Do you want to know how you're going to die? Do we really want to know what's going to happen to America over the next 20 years? Would that knowledge make any of us any more peaceful or content? How about you? If you knew everything that was going to happen to you over the next 10 years of your life, what would that do to you? You ought to think about that. I think that's probably what's going on here in this text. Perhaps God is sparing Daniel and even us some needless worry. And yet, God has a plan. God has a plan for this world. Look at what he's saying there. God has a plan for this world right down to the very day that it's going to happen. And he has a plan for your life as well. He has a plan for my life. We don't know all the details of the plan, but God has a plan. God has that plan. And glory to God, as we've seen already, God has a way of bringing his plans to fruition. Knock, knock. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do any more knock, knock jokes. That one last week was bad enough, wasn't it? Please don't agree with me on that, okay? But it is kind of a joke. It is a joke in our family that I can be directionally challenged at times. Any other dads here directionally challenged? Any moms here directionally? Anybody else want to put their hand up? Thank you for the encouragement here this morning. And so, you know, before the advent of GPS and other devices, we would be on vacation together as a family. And I just had this gift. I don't know, I guess it was a gift. I had this gift of saying, you know what? I believe there's a restaurant not far from here. So we'd get off the highway, and we'd end up driving 30, 45 minutes till we finally got to a place. And by that time, everybody is cranky and crabbing and excited and all that stuff. Not excited, very unexcited to do that. And yet, you know, I am so directionally challenged. It really hasn't even changed all that much, even though I now have something in my car that helps me find my way, and I have a phone that helps me find my way. I actually have two women telling me where to go. And if Karen's in the car, that's three. And I still have a hard time at times getting myself out of the situations. Daniel, I think, is kind of relating to this here to us. Do you know that Daniel is now in his 90s? Think about this. He's in his 90s. His long and strange and wonderful journey is coming to an end. There's no more ungodly kings to have to deal with, no more lions in a den to have to deal with. Do you know that Daniel would spend his entire life away from his homeland? He'd be an alien, as it were, in a foreign country, and yet he would serve God all of his days. And here he is at the end of his life, and he wants to know. He wants to know where to go. I think Daniel wants to end well. He wants to finish strong. That's why I believe God gives him that, I think, amazing promise there in verse 13. It's also coupled with a beautiful challenge. I have it in your notes. One day, God says, Daniel, you're going to rest. One day, you're going to rise again. And one day, you're going to be richly rewarded. Finish strong, Daniel. Go your way, Daniel. Serve me, Daniel, in your generation. Serve me, Daniel. Because one day you're going to rest. One day you're going to rise again, brother. One day you're going to stand before God and shine like the stars in the sky. And I wonder today, the question that really we ought to all ask ourselves, can that be said of us? Is it going to be said of us? One day when we stand in front of God, will we hear him say to us, well done, come. Let me reward you. Let me encourage you today. Finish strong. We're all in different spots in our journey. Some of us are older, others of us are younger. Some of us are here today and we're in the throes of addiction. Others of us are coming out of addiction. Some of us are in a tough time in our lives and we need grace. Others of us are coasting along today. Let me ask you today, what is it that you need to do? What is it that you need to put in practice in your life today so that one day you can stand in front of God and have him say, you were faithful, you finished strong. Come and enjoy your reward with me. Do you have a relationship with this God of Daniel? Do you know this God of Daniel? Do you know that your life is in his hands? Have you opened yourself to him as your God and your Savior? It's one of the reasons why this church exists. It would be our great privilege to help you find and follow the God of Daniel. What a privilege it is for us to serve him in our day, 2,600 years later, so that one day we will finish strong. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Let's bow together this morning in prayer.